Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. This is the Sound Health Options Directions for True show with Richard Talk to Me Guy. And Sherry Edwards is still in the lab. She'll be back soon. It's been a lot of time spent getting the portal ready. There will be a new system available soon. I think it's open now. I'm not sure. You could email sherryedwards@gmail.com and ask. I don't have a current answer to that. But the portal will allow us to be able to make a vocal recording on your local computer, log into the portal, import that audio file, which is pretty easy once you've done it once or twice, then run that audio file or your vocal print through the various softwares and look at it right online. You don't have to have things installed on your computer. You don't have to figure that out. All you have to do is be able to record an audio file, 30-second file, and upload it, which is easy through the interface, and store your data and information there so you can sit down at anybody's computer and look at the information. It's an amazing, it's wonderful. I'm so happy to see that happening. That's very exciting. I should probably start out by saying that we're sponsored here by soundhealthoptions.com, and that today's show about mushroom wellness is just filled with great information. And I'll remind everybody, because I know later on after you hear all this, you're going to have to go back and listen to it again to take notes, to write down that, you know, take notes for yourself and tell others. My buzzwords are gut health and candida and environment and deliciousness. That you can go to soundhealthoptions.com, click on the radio tab, and then for today's show, click on Direction for Truth, and that's where all the show notes and everything are. And to find the replay of this show, probably about 10 to 15 minutes typically after the show is over, you can go to soundhealthoptions.com, click on the radio tab, and then click on the Blog Talk Archive tab, and the replay will be there. You can also find it by going to find all the shows, almost 500 now, at either iTunes or any of your podcast aggregators, Pocket Cast, Dog Catcher, Overcast. There's a bunch of casting apps. Stitcher is cross-platform and free. And actually, one of the great things about Stitcher is that you can listen to the show there on your device or on your computer. And when you find information or a show that you want to send to somebody else, it's real easy to do it using Stitcher's ability to share really quite well. Pocket Cast is also really good. If you really like listening to stuff, Pocket Cast is one of my favorites. It's cross-platform, again, computer or either iOS or Android. And you can listen to it there and, again, share it with anybody. It's a very well-maintained, passionate crowd maintaining that software on a regular basis. And I think there was another announcement. Sherry, I believe, will be back this Sunday. She's been on the road and in the lab and doing trainings. So it's been a very busy time. So I'm not even going to talk about politics except to say that word. There are tonics and there are benefits in everything that we're going to talk about in this show. Mushrooms are our friends. Today's guest, Paul Galon, likes to be on the cutting edge. President and founder of Herbal Products and Development, he has studied herbs, foods, and mushrooms, formulating innovative herbal products and the whole food concentrates for over 30 years. Through his extensive travels, he's become knowledgeable in both native and foreign botanicals. Paul has studied medicinal plants in many countries. The full range of nutritional natural products that Paul has helped bring to the market includes nutritional foods, seed oil blends, enzymes, antioxidants, vitamin mineral antioxidant blends, fluid extract herbal combinations, mushroom formulas, as well as nutritional chocolates, probiotics, skincare, and other concentrated powder blends. You can find out more about Paul at his websites by going to Paul's Community, that's a P-A-L-U-S, community.us. Paul is joining us today to talk about the long-term benefits of mushrooms as wellness allies. We're here today with Paul Galon, Master Formulator, and we're going to talk about mushrooms. We're going to talk about what I call the magic of mushrooms. They're truly an amazing food, benefactor to the environment, perhaps communicator in the forest and in the world in a certain very positive way. And then also the amazing medicinal benefits that have, I believe, you know, centuries of information on that. My opening question to you, Paul, is, has there been an increase in interest in mushrooms as a power food? Is it just me? It seems like mushrooms are just like, wow, mushrooms. But they've been around for centuries.
It has been around for centuries, but the interest lately is mushrooming, not to use a pun, but it is expanding quite a bit. The there's many towns that have festivals now, such as Santa Cruz, of a mushroom festival in January when they're popping out everywhere. And, you know, it's driven a lot by the culinary, but there's also the medicinal aspect, and we'll be getting into a lot of these different aspects of it today. But, I'm looking at my dinner, and I had acquired 2 pounds of chanterelles from somebody recently, and I just made those up with some really nice green beans last night and onions, and they're wonderful foods as well, but the medicinal qualities is phenomenal, and we'll go into that as well.
You bet. And so I think actually starting from the culinary end is great, because I don't think in this culture we really think about eating medicine. And then there are other cultures where they make soups and stews, or in China where they boil herbs and roots for, you know, in food. So talk about that idea. I mean, mushrooms are not only medicinal, but they taste really amazing. They're really good.
They're a great food. They nourishing because the compounds that they've acquired from their manner of growth has so many constituents, and some of them have a very meaty flavor. They have a satiating flavor like fats, and they have a lot of characteristics of a very satisfying meal in and of themselves. And like in China, they'll use astragalus, for example, in the soup, or the wuji, or the schizandra, or the various, you know, herbs, and they impart the nutrients into the broth because they'll make a soup. And you know, mushrooms are the same way. I have it in 2 forms that I created. One was a liquid extract, which you can just squirt into a soup or a salad dressing or that kind of thing. And I keep it by my stove. And then the other I keep as a powder, but it's in capsules. And that's something I just use in basic cooking, like a stir fry or with rice and vegetables, or with, you know, if you were having a fish dish or whatever you chose to have, you just kind of add it in various forms. And that's the interesting thing about it. You can have specific types of mushrooms, or you can have them a blended formula as well. And type that we, you know, collecting, and that's a whole other thing, is the collection of mushrooms.
That's a whole amazing area. Do mushrooms in herbally, as an herbalist and yourself, you think of herbs and formulation, how they, you know, you have the stimulants, the cayennes, the gingers, that kind of thing, and then you have the kind of the foundation, and you have the other herbs. Do mushrooms formulate together in that same way? Do they have different characteristics that you sometimes want to have a formulation?
Well, they're more of a neutral and slightly more on the salty, a little bit on the salt, but not much. And then a slight sweetness. They have those. So if you go into, a system where you look at the five flavors, which would be sweet, salty, bitter, pungent, and sour, is because pungent is a taste, which is the ginger and the turmeric and those kind of things. Mushroom would fall somewhere in between the slightly salty, sweet, neutral kind of flavor. So it's versatile that way, you know, in any quote savory dishes or that kind of thing. Almost it could be used in kind of a porridge in a way too.
Seems like it'd be a great addition to like a risotto or a rice dish or any of those kinds of those grainy dishes. It just seems like a great thing. I've used it where I've taken capsules and opened it up over just cooked quinoa with some butter on it. It's like,
oh, that's good.
It's so wonderful. Mm-hmm.
They're really an amazing gift in the way they grow and the way they intertwine with our consciousness. And that when you think that mushrooms are growing so close to the ground and what they do in terms of breaking down all the nutrients and how they assimilate, how that imparts to us those characteristics that it's achieved. In other words, there's a direct relationship of the mushroom of how it feeds us, both nutritionally and, you know, in a spirit sense as well.
Well, isn't the mushroom really one of those creatures? I kind of think of mushrooms as creatures, more so than other produce. They're in the wild, they're really at the sweet spot of breaking things down and assimilating amazing nutrients and breaking those down to give them to us as gifts in a certain way. I mean, the humic field is, what an amazing miracle of micronutrients.
It's incredible because it's the mycelium stage of the mushroom. You know, there's actually about five stages of mushroom growth, but the mycelium is where it puts its quote roots down, kind of a whole network of roots like the internet. It's consciousness basically, and that's what it spreads across a mat to create a more spongy atmosphere in which the nutrients start to break down, and it changes soil to being more loamy and more that we can utilize it. So that's the other thing. Otherwise, we would have just dead, lifeless soil without mushrooms. And there's some amazing things about them in the way they share their resources among themselves and how they regulate temperature and moisture, and they're really quite a special characteristic of what they are.
And are they unusual in the herbal realm? I mean, you don't think of comfrey as talking to each other in a certain way. I don't mean a bad way, but I mean, it really seems like because of the mycelium, because that amazing thread-like structure that they create, they really are they more communicative to each other than other kinds of botanicals?
There's a certain consciousness to mushrooms, and a lot of the work of Paul Stamets, The Mycelium Running, and some of his books really speak about that aspect, because there's so many dimensions to the way they grow and the way, you know, what they do with the kind of their own biological intelligence. Also the way that they notice the manner of soil changes and the activity of it and what happens in the soil. And how that, and how the nutrients are recycled. I mean, it's definitely a powerful type of consciousness, really, in the way that they grow. And as we see that, you know, that statement by Whitman, I think every cubic inch a miracle. That we have everything, if you observe it and really notice it, has a powerful validity of what it is, and it's just the way we observe is really the limiting factor, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And when they create their mycelium, they're putting out these threads all over the place. However, they don't manifest necessarily mushrooms in all those locations. Do they pop up in? Why do they choose to pop up? Do we know that part about? Because they have this amazing, you know, threads of all over the forest, but they pop up in particular locations.
They're seeded.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the way they're seeded, and there's the. I guess we should get into the stages of growth.
Mm-hmm.
It can be both cultivated and naturally occurring as it grows. So the stages would be, and again, you could start anywhere in these five. Let's say the spores are what seed the stage of the mycelium. And the spores are when the mushroom wants to reproduce itself in a sense. And they, one of the interesting stories about cordyceps is that the mushroom grows through the worm. It's like a type of, it's like a growth. Now, in cultivation, that's not necessary to have the worm that it grows through, but that's what occurs in the nature in the Himalayan plateaus. Those cordyceps are cultivated that way. And the interesting thing is they'll climb up to a very high height, these particular caterpillars. And these, as they get there, this is an interesting biological drive, but the wind will carry their spores far and wide. So it's as if they are driven to climb up to a very high height and sporulate the earth as far as it can to disseminate those properties. So from spores, the mycelium come, and that puts its forest mat out. And the mycelium are what they call a hydrophage, but the mycelium are just the huge network that you see from the mushroom. They're actually underground primarily. And from there, you'll find little nods that will form, and that's called primordia. And that's the beginning of the fruiting body, which will come as the cap and the stem forms from that. And then from that stage, if they're made, if they're produced, or as they grow in nature, what happens is you get at that stage extruded compounds that come from the mushroom. And that's a small mass, but a very powerful compounds that transfer a lot of immunity from the mushroom literally to us.
Yeah, every time I think about mushrooms, my mind kind of gets blown because they seem like such a sleeper in a certain way. I don't ever think of creatures in the forest, animals walking around eating mushrooms. Are there animals that are out there eating mushrooms as a regular thing?
Yeah, and not only that, many, many, many insects, as you see when you collect mushrooms, how fast you get them. Depends on the condition, because when they come up, they're sort of perfect to harvest. But the longer you wait, animals and insects get into them, and there's they just begin a very quick deterioration and a kind of a composting. So it's a matter of timing with mushrooms as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what are the, let's move slightly, we're going to go back to culinary, but I want to move slightly into talking about some of the environmental, the other environmental benefits of mushrooms. Like, could you talk for a bit, could you explain a little bit of let's talk about Paul Stamets for a minute, because he's published a lot on doing environmental remediation using mushrooms. How does that work? I mean, I know about him inoculating bales of hay to remediate strains. I mean, he's been a real leader in that material.
Yeah. Well, there's several forms of remediation. And, you know, there's bioremediation, there's phytoremediation, which is through plants. And there's mycoremediation is what he's talking about, which is through mushrooms. So these are various forms of remediation and ways literally in which we clean up the environment in the heavy metals and toxicity can literally be chelated and rendered inert to a degree. I don't know. We have a situation with Fukushima now that's quite dire and underreported, but the mushrooms and even plants like hemp were able to remediate a lot of the area, you know, even around Chernobyl. But again, there's a lot of residual problems as well. So it's a very difficult question. I mean, it's hopeful in some way, and in some way we're faced with tremendous ecological and environmental situations that seem insurmountable, but these are providing solutions. And, you know, that's what I guess gives us hope.
Right. I remember the last time I heard Paul lecture at Bioneers, he was talking about, maybe that was the time before, where he was doing some work where they were inoculating bales of hay and putting along the streams. In a particular area, I can't remember. It might have been an E. coli issue that they were trying to remediate. But I mean, just the idea that that can be done with a thing, you know, that it's straw and fungus that are remediating. We're not using chemicals.
Well, the amazing thing is the fungus, the particular types of fungus will become specific to what is needed in the situation. In other words, of the many kinds in the area, there'll be some that will predominate. And Paul was a master at, or is a master at, discerning what kinds are optimal for what kind of conditions. And he did a lot of that work, I think, in northern Washington with a lot of the forestry departments there.
Yes.
And you know, the would be Mycelium Running.
Right.
Which is a wonderful book. It really gets into those whole issues.
It's an amazing, you know, I've heard him speak a number of times, and it's always amazing to hear that kind of, you know, he's a quirky character because he does sort of have that relationship, like he could be a fungus. We don't know. He could be a representative.
Yeah.
He seems like a representative for the Myco family.
Absolutely. And his hat is made from a conch.
Right, which is a
beautiful hat. I mean,
it's a beautiful hat. And it's, yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're getting benefits from, okay, so we're eating great food because mushrooms, most everybody that's listened to me talk before knows I used to be in the restaurant business. And so I've, you know, done a lot with mushrooms. I always love adding mushrooms to anything because they add a certain, now it's very hip to use the word umami, but they add a certain, you know, flavor to anything, a certain depth.
And it's thickening too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, what a great thing to make a soup that's self-winding or self-thickening. You don't have to use flour. You don't have to use anything. It adds a nice texture.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, you know, mushrooms are amazing. But like you say, the cleaning out of the residents in the mushrooms can be the hardest part because, boy.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It's a lot. And when they're prepared, let's say for, if I'm making it into a liquid extract, you're basically extracting components like saccharides, polysaccharides are the long chain beneficial sugars. So they need a lot of cooking. And then of course they're preserved in some kind of alcohol or other base. And then, you know, they're finished so that they don't spoil, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course, when you're working with them in a powder form, it's a very different kind of process. But as far as fresh mushrooms, there's so many kinds, the chanterelles, the boletus, the When you go to the mushroom festivals and see the amount of varieties in the labels and, you know, which are edible and which are to be cautioned, and it's really astounding, the variety. There's literally the show in Santa Cruz that took place about a month ago had hundreds and hundreds of labeled species, and it was just fascinating to see what they can all be used for, and how they looked and their appearances and the spore forming, the conch forming, the all the different types of physiological differences in them. It was amazing.
I hadn't planned this, but this just floated up in my brain. In the pharmacopoeia, which is the old pharmacist formulation book, started in the, I don't know, 1900s, maybe
1800s? Yeah, that's the eclectics.
Right. Were there did they have compounding of any kind of mushroom compounds back then, or did they not figure it out yet?
At that time?
Yeah.
Well, you know, at that time, there was a very limited range of mushrooms that were even experimented with. And I think they spoke of a few of them, probably the Boletus. I don't know, you know, because the button mushroom was the one that was the most commercially developed one. Of course, in Asia, it was more shiitake.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, brought a lot of cross-pollination to here. I think it's been an evolving process, literally.
Does the button, I'm going to move into a medicinal question, but you mentioned button mushrooms, probably the mushroom that most people know or are aware of. Does the mushroom,
right,
the button mushroom have anything going for it?
A little bit. You know, obviously little fiber.
Okay.
We have a slight bit of protein,
okay,
minerals, mm-hmm, some B vitamins.
Right.
I wouldn't put it in a category like cordyceps or reishi or
shiitake, or turkey tail, or lion's mane, or
yeah, all those kind. Yeah,
right. It's a distant cousin. I wouldn't be cooking with it, thinking that, like, wow, I feel better. I had my button mushrooms today. Yeah, okay. All right. So now let's talk about the fungi family is doing environmentally.
Mm-hmm.
Now carries over into, I'm certain it has relationships to the medicinal aspects, that the benefits,
oh, absolutely,
you know, the amazing amount of, you know, positive aspects that, you know, fungi can add to our life is really quite amazing. So I really want to spend that most of our time talking about those medicinal aspects. Pick a mushroom that you'd like to talk about.
Well, there's several mushrooms we can talk about. And the interesting thing is the shared characteristic of so many of them, you know, what they'll do. And that's the very interesting thing is that, for example, for reducing inflammation, mushrooms have also many of these kind. And again, each specific type has many shared ones of others, and then it has its own specifics. So you'll see a lot of shared characteristics, but you'll also see a lot of specifics. And the one I chose for my formula, which was Mushroom Power Supreme, were eight types of mushrooms, and then one was a compound called Immune Assist, and that was six types that were cultured all together. And my formula was more derived from it was an organic processing on sorghum from Aloha Medicinals, and who've are around the Nevada, California border right now. And even the cordyceps is cultivated. It's not the wild, so it's not the, you know, it is suitable for vegetarians as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the lead ingredient, I guess I could say, would be cordyceps is my personal favorite. I mean, cordyceps and reishi are my two biggest in that formula. And, you know, it's been used traditionally in the Chinese and Tibetan medicine for enormous amount of years, that maybe thousands of years, actually. So this was These are really rich in the B vitamins, and they have a certain amount of K, which is very interesting. They have 18 amino acids, a lot of the polysaccharides, which, you know, the long-chain sugars, many of those, fatty acid trace minerals, and they have they've been used for blood sugar regulation, you know, with the diabetes, the high blood pressure, strengthening the nerve. They've been used in stroke. And a lot of these have been actual clinical studies. So not only anecdotal, but they're backed by a lot of studies. You'll find actually hundreds of studies on specific kinds of mushrooms and the amounts that they used. So, you know, that's the PubMed and those kind of things that we'd probably have on the unifiedcommunity.info website. You'd find that kind of stuff. And the interesting thing with the cordyceps is they survive in they thrive in an oxygen-deprived environment. So that way they're utilizing the oxygen that's available most efficiently, which is interesting. When you have very little of something, you utilize the nutrients. And that's kind of the whole moniker of how mushrooms produce. They also contain glutathione, which is a very powerful antioxidant, that one. And, you know, that helps to reduce that oxidative stress.
Right.
So, you know, they've been used for performance and that kind of thing. And, you know, each one has its own characteristics. The reishi, the Agrarius blazei, that was the one from Brazil. The maitake, the hen of the woods, amazing kind of mushroom too. Chaga, which is really coming into a lot of play lately, another kind of conch found growing wild in Maine and Michigan, lots of them there. They're, you know, they can be produced, and they're also Siberia, you know, is another big region for them. That's probably where a lot of them benefits started to be derived from, was in that part of Russia, which was Siberia at that time, Siberia, Russia at that time. Turkey tail, the lion's mane, and the shiitake. So each one of those has incredible compounds to themselves, and specific aspects of each one of those has been tested. So that's the interesting part of that, is that each one had certain compounds, like shiitake had the lentian and those kind. But turkey tail had another kind, the turkey tail, the Trimedes versicola, you know, had other types. They called it PSK, and they had strong antibiotic properties. And each one had those characteristics. So that's how they came about.
Amazing. And when you say antibiotic-like action, does that mean that now when we think of antibiotics in the traditional Western medicine way, it just goes in and blazes everything down and leaves you kind of stripped out? It's kind of like open-face mining. It just kills everything.
Yeah, it's a little different aspect with mushrooms, because they don't damage your colon. They're actually building that. The nourishment of the mushrooms tend to support colon health. They, you know, the long chain sugars are helping to, like the fructooligosaccharides, the FOS, in chicory and mesquite and those things, they're compounds that feed the beneficial bacteria. Well, mushrooms have an analogous relationship to that as well, so that they feed those beneficial organisms in the colon. So there's a different activity of the way that they're killing certain germs and pathogens and the candida, and they're helping our immune system to function better and better. But they're selectively doing that. They're changing the flora, but they're not damaging the flora. So whereas Western medicine would be using antibiotics to basically wipe out the flora and then you replace it, somewhere in there would be something like a golden seal or a coptis or other plant-derived substances, which would be also white, trying to balance out the harmful species that have overrun the colon with harmful, you know, Pseudomonas, the Candida, the E. coli, the various ones, because everybody has a variety of good and bad strains throughout their body, and it's all a matter of numbers and balance.
Right.
And the way that we balance it out is the important aspect. That's why I think it's better to generally you want to strengthen your body, selectively repopulate with good bacteria, and, you know, improve your intestinal flora and your constitution.
Right.
Mushrooms are a big part of that too.
I was going to say, it seems like the mushrooms are really, could be one of those things, since everybody's using the word microbiome these days, since the mushrooms already have an amazing relationship to the microbiome of the forest,
mm-hmm.
they seem to have carried that friendly, you know, they really do seem to want to work to us. The more, every time I talk about mushrooms or, you know, like talk with you about mushrooms, it's always like, they really seem, they want to help us out, man. But I mean,
they're allies. They're truly allies.
It's amazing. And so it seems like you, if you're working on rebuilding your gut health or wanting to have gut health, that you want mushrooms in your life to help give that, adjust everything around the edges to help create balance. They're really, I mean, they really are striving to be the king of adaptogens in a certain way.
Right. It's all about our knowledge. For example, mushrooms are, you know, they're not candida forming, and yet that works a little counterintuitive to our logical sense, because they're mushrooms and you'd think, well, fungal, but they're really not. They're not, they don't encourage that growth. In fact, they do the opposite. And it's a lot of substances are like that. For example, certain beneficial oils like pumpkin and hemp and those kind, are helping the body to break down fats. They're not adding to the problem. So many things, a beneficial salt like the Himalayan salt, will have a completely opposite physiological characteristic as opposed to a standard table salt that you might see in, you know, conventional restaurants.
Right.
Completely different. And there was a test with 360 people that bore it out, in that they went in opposite directions. That so things that look to be something similar or something analogous to something else can have a completely opposite effect based on, you know, what it is. And I think that's part of the material science, is understanding that.
Mm-hmm. And I have to veer off slightly. It's not too far veering. So what if somebody has a chemical, well, I'll call it a chemical sensitivity. What I really mean is they have an environmental sensitivity because they've been exposed to molds. And I'm talking about molds like Stachyborus or some of the other. Stachyborus is the most famous of that's the black mold that if you see that, you know, leave. So what happens if somebody has had mold exposure that has altered their immune system or suppressed or kicked their immune system badly in the head? Are they okay using fungal formulas?
Well, you know, in that case, I think it's a little different. I think in that case, there's certain other things you could take, and there's a lot of there's not a lot. There's a few practitioners that deal with mold issues, and I've spoken with them, you know, regarding the product side in different towns around the country, and I've learned a lot from them. And it's a really tricky thing. It's an entire discussion, but there are certain plant materials, and there's certain it can be achieved through natural means, but there's been very few comprehensive formulas that have been successful in that so far, although there are some. You know, there are some that have, you know, done a lot to control that.
Right.
But it's a very specific problem. It's kind of like malaria in a way.
Right. It's very specific. Yeah. It's good to know. It's really, I wasn't aware of, and I think that's really a good thing to know about the candida, that it's not that it's a candida, you know, antagonist.
Right. Right. And
it's
yet
really
it would seem the opposite. And most people believe it to be the opposite of what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good to know. But the mold thing is a tricky. I worked in remediation, and boy, when people have had a mold exposure, it's a tricky realm. You can rebuild, you know, with other protocols and ozone and all sorts of things to benefit the body.
Yeah.
Man, it's a gnarly situation. So they're really, the mushrooms are really, not only are they allies, they're adaptogens. So they're really immune modulators.
Exactly.
And so they're really, if it's too high, it brings it down. If it's too low, it brings it up. So they're really wanting to help bring us into homeostasis and health.
They are, yeah. And that's the immune regulation. And a lot of the, you know, cancer protocol involves certain compounds of the mushrooms. And that repeats itself in a lot of the clinical literature because the mushrooms tend to be immunomodulating. And that's the interesting thing, is that physiological relationship of the mushroom and the way that it grows and how that imparts that to us in strengthening our immune system, just like it strengthens its immune system in the way it grows. And that's one of the interesting analogous things about mushrooms, I think.
Part of, I think, as we're talking, I hadn't really connected the dots that it's so beneficial to the gut that it makes sense that it would be a positive immunomodulator just based on the fact that it's making our gut so much healthier. And that's really the foundation of our, you know, health, that it's going to be overall beneficial. You know, if you have a healthy gut, it's hard to be sick. Really.
Exactly. You have your resistance. And that's the thing about it, is this crux of the matter is that they're imparting our resistance to be stronger, and you know, they're strengthening it. And not everybody thrives on mushrooms as much as the next person. I mean, everybody's different, and that's the biochemical uniqueness of each person. So it's hard to make a blanket statement about anything, but mushrooms in general are very beneficial to most people.
Mm-hmm.
And in many, many situations. So probably why in China and many countries, you know, in that area, in Japan, so certainly, of course, in Europe, it was a big tradition. And this is what people did to strengthen themselves. And this is what they collected in the wild. And that brought them that connection with nature and being out there to collect them as part of their meals. And, you know, there's something about coming in out of the rain and all of that to feel your immune system kicking in and making a warm meal and getting warm and getting nourished from having these mushrooms and as a meal.
Well, and spending that time in nature is hard to go wrong.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm not talking about floods and thunderstorms and that. I just mean in a general sense, you know, spending time.
Oh, yeah, this can be a little much.
So I have a sort of a side culinary question, and that is, what's up with truffles? Are truffles, do they have medicinal benefits? And do we ever talk about that? Mostly it's like, oh my God, I had truffle on my eggs. I can't believe how amazing it was. Is truffle some like magic thing?
Well, they were harvested in France by pigs being able to literally root them out, you know, by their sense of knowing and getting them. So it was the rarity of them. Truffles are one of those rare foods that's in a, you know, it's like a fine wine that only a certain amount was made.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, at this point it's a very, you know, revered food because it's rarer, you know, than anything else. I haven't worked with truffles that much.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure they're a wonderful food, and I'm sure they have a lot of medicinal values as well. But there's so many kinds of mushroom. David Arora, who wrote the book Mushrooms Demystified, said that the most mushrooms he saw in the world were actually in Africa, of all
wow.
places.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. We'd think it would be more tropical, but
yeah.
he said there was an incredible rise. So mushrooms literally are, you know, obviously all over the world. And some countries don't utilize them like others. Like in, you know, the Ayurvedic tradition, it's not like the Chinese in that regard. They don't revere mushrooms like the Chinese. Hmm. You know, they don't hardly use them.
Isn't that interesting? And did we have in the United States, were indigenous peoples here mushroom farmers?
I think people harvested them.
Okay.
I think the interest has grown, though,
yeah.
literally exponentially in the last, I would say, 15 years, 20
right.
years.
Right.
Maybe a little more, but the interest level now is really high in the States.
It's really amazing now. When I think about in the 70s, wow, in the 70s, man, when I was studying mm-hmm. about herbs, you know, cordyceps was kind of what we talked about, or reishi or shiitake,
mm-hmm.
but it certainly mm-hmm. was not at anywhere was the scale of what's available. I mean, you can go into almost any health food store today and find a whole shelving area of fungal possibilities. Whereas back then,
well, exactly.
Kind of like,
you know, you find them in the culinary world, in food preparations and sauces, and then you find them on the shelf as medicinal formulas because of their corrective nature.
And right.
So you see them in a variety of ways, and that's what's going on with mushrooms. It's they're really becoming you know, they're really becoming developed as And they're both cultivated and collected in the wild.
There's such a, it's an amazing, I'm back in my mind sort of standing in the forest and, you know, looking at mushrooms. I've photographed mushrooms a lot, and I just think they're, you know, spending time with them is certainly a thing.
Oh, yeah.
In a very positive sense. You know, I think it's part of where they are, but they're, I mean, they're at the feet of the, you know, trees, which is amazing. You know, it's always an amazing, you know, it's never a bad place to go looking for mushrooms. It's amazing out there, and it's a whole world. That micro world is truly amazing. It's, you know, just beautiful and stunning.
And, yeah, and that's interesting for, like, on the trees, you'll see the conch growing from the tree as literally the body of it, the corpus, the body of the tree. And then they're growing under, as other species are. And, you know, there's such a, you know, there's such a variety of them.
And is there some, are there medicinal characteristics of the conch that are not in the more, do conch have mycelium as well when they're growing on trees? I don't know that part.
They're different. The conch are more the reishi, I guess the chaga. They're growing on like a birch
mm-hmm.
in the woodlands. They have a hard mass of mycelia.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. And they're harvested by breaking it off of the trunk so it can regrow.
Okay.
It's a they call them polyphores.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they make teas of it too.
Right.
The reishi and chaga of that type, those are higher in what are called triterpenes. And there's a compound called betulin. And that's, you know, an anti-cancer agent. They're high in inositol, which is, you know, a kind of a B vitamin. Mm-hmm. Then the ergosetrol, that's the one that forms vitamin D.
Right.
They can certain kind of statins. The chitin is the very insoluble fiber. And they have a lot of enzymes. So they have a lot of immunostimulating properties as well.
Right. What was the mushroom that Paul wrote the paper on? I think that this is public knowledge. He wrote a paper about he gave his mom a particular strain of mushroom when she was dealing with, I believe, breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that a bit? What was that? Was that lion's mane or turkey tail or one of those, it seems like?
It could have been. It could have been one of those, too. I wonder if that was in the book Mycelium Running.
I'm not sure. I remember him talking about it, and that was one of the, I think that was one of the things that began to sort of blow out in a good way. Mushrooms, when that occurred, and it was like, look, my mom is alive today, and this is how we did it. And he wrote quite a bit of paper on that.
Yeah, that was an amazing thing. I think it might have been in the Mycelium Running, but he had a lot of other books. And I remember reading about that. Trying to see which one that it was, but I think it could have been one of those too.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can't remember now, but it is really amazing how they're so, you know, I'm looking at the list of ingredients of the Mushroom Power Supreme. And mm-hmm. as I read, and I'll put the link for this in the show notes, the link for a paper that you wrote about all these mushrooms. I mean, yes, mm-hmm. you, the foundation of what you're talking about is your formula, but you give an amazing amount of information about these mushrooms. And
the ancillary information on this is very vast. And, that's kind of one of the aspects to them. Okay. Okay. That's another, aspect of the mushrooms.
Yeah. They're really, they're just a powerhouse. I mean, just as I look down the list of things about, DNA protectors, immune modulators, anti-inflammatory, anti-allergen, enhancing digestion, blood sugar. I mean, they just seem to be such amazing allies to help our bodies be stronger and be healthier that it amazes me that it's taken me that, I've been using mushrooms on and off for years, but now it really makes me want to, use them on a daily basis and have long-term health. Because you can't.
Yeah, well, they all have such a level of a modulator, of how they're just corrective to the body and what they fill in that we might be lacking and how they balance our blood sugar. I mean, that's another aspect of them. And, when you're balancing the blood sugar and you're utilizing oxygen more effectively, you're getting better breathing. You're getting a lot less fungal overgrowth, the candida, because your sugar regulation's more controlled. Your insulin, So when you start looking at it, you see the circulation improving, and that of course is the heart function and the circulation, and the shiitake, cholesterol reduction. Legendary for that. They also create vitamin D, and vitamin D has so many, many, many properties in formation with calcium and magnesium, which are so important to the body. But each one, not only in the nutrients that it contains, but what they do is pretty remarkable. And you can take whether it's the shiitake or the lion's mane, and the lion's mane has the memory and the nerve growth factors and the neuroprotective qualities. And that was the latest addition to the formula. The Mushroom Power Supreme was the lion's mane. And I'm getting more and more and more and more of a deeper appreciation. Of course, I've been using lion's mane fresh for many years, but I've just incorporated that into the last couple years into the last batches.
Anything we can do for, particularly in this political environment, for anything we can use for our nerves is excellent. That's all I'm going to say about that.
yeah. Well, it's good. I mean, it's fortifying, and that's one of the characteristics we need to have is this long-term stamina and this fortification, because we're in it for the long haul.
Yeah, and it'd be nice to be, functional during 98% of that long haul.
Exactly.
Longevity.
Yeah.
We're all getting older. This is how it happens. We all get older, and, you know, it's good to be, you know, functional while being older.
And functional and you know, making us into a, you know, moving us more into a better optimal state of however our health is taking, as opposed to what happens in the whole world of pharmaceuticals and what that's doing to people with the brain chemistry changes that, you know, people don't really want to talk about with pharmaceutical drugs because they're not endogenous to the liver. The liver's trying to process something that it can't. So pharmaceuticals are very difficult for the body to understand and utilize, whereas something like mushrooms or plant material is very much in accord to our bodies, all of our bodies, in that we process it. It runs through all of our digestive system and through our liver and through our body organs, and it's utilized because our body can translate that knowledge of knowing what it is, as opposed to a substance that it's foreign to our body. So mushrooms are very beneficial. We've evolved with them in a sense.
Well, in a certain way, back to being in the forest, you know, it makes sense because you're actually in the forest. I can't remember the name of the woman, but I attended a conference in Point Reyes last year called Call of the Forest, where the doctor who was speaking was talking about the beneficial esters of being in the forest. She was done a lot of research in Japan and how being in the forest in Japan, they actually have areas where you go and you go to the forest. You're going into preserves where you're actually there intentionally to inhale the esters from the trees, and that shows immune modulation. So if we're doing the, you know, I think we're doing the same thing when we go into the forest here, and, you know, we're getting all those amazing, you know, esters that are happening, whether they're from the mushrooms or through right down the roots or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, it's an amazing, you know, we should be in relationship with nature. Nature's really trying to work with us.
With the scents and the sounds of the woods and the forest, of what that does to our body and our senses, it's as if we're taking you know, essential oils, basically. We're actually, when we're in the forest, we're in a sense we're inhaling those essential oils, and as opposed to something like peppermint or an oil that you could apply, these are esters of the trees and the plants in the area where plants and it could be the mushrooms are growing and have their own unique characteristics of each forest we go in. It's always exciting. And you know, what's available, what's pollinated, for example, by the bees in the area, where they go to collect their pollen. You know, it's a very complex ecosystem that we live in. It's still being understood.
And the mushrooms just keep doing what they're doing. I mean, they really, in a certain way, I talk a lot about the idea of, you know, whole foods, meaning not things that are broken down or, you know, not broken apart. And mushrooms seem like that, like up in the, they should be in the food pyramid in the sense that they are like really an amazing whole food with just a myriad amazing amount of micronutrients that are really fabulous for us.
Oh, they are. Yeah. And they have so much, you know, just to offer with their properties. Right. Yeah. They are whole food.
They're a whole food. They're the ultimate whole food, and they taste really good. Wow.
Oh yeah.
What a bonus round. Wow.
Yeah. So that's an interesting thing is, you know, you can, you know, we have the opportunity to have both medicinal foods, mushrooms found in the wild that we make foods with and whatever our creativity yields for mushrooms.
Yeah.
I mean, we have so many ways we can prepare them.
Yeah. And they taste so good. I'm stunned to find that we're rolling around to the end of our time. Where can people find out more about the mushrooms? And also do tell people about Unified Community, because I think that's a mind-blowing resource of free information. So tell us how people find everything.
Okay, so the mushrooms are found right now, and we'll be linking to the Unified Community, which I'll get to in a second. But the mushrooms are found on herbprod.com. That's H-E-R-B-P-R-O-D, as in herbal products.com. And in herbprod.com, that's my website of all of my products and writings on everything. There's literally a write-up on everything. The mushroom has a two-page profile under capsules. You'll see it under the capsule section on the left side of the, by the scroll bar. And there's also a space for the expanded bibliography, which has about 40 sources. And there's the expanded 9-page write-up on mushrooms that are a broader depth to the 2-page write-up. And it also goes into the generalities of mushrooms as well. Unifiedcommunity.info. And it's an information hub. It has about 2,000 links, and it has 100 categories. And that has everything from hemp to in independent media to commentaries to permaculture. Holistic Health is about 160 sites. There's just a huge treasure trove of knowledge in there, of just great sites of new paradigm thinking or solutions, as I call it, to what's going on in the world, what's possible, what can we do to make this a better planet. And I think that's what the roadmap of that is. And there's also festivals, there's lots of interesting things in it. I think you'll find it a worthwhile thing to a site to bookmark. So yeah, that's unifiedcommunity.info.
Mm-hmm. I'll have that and in the show notes. And I will warn people, have a beverage, a glass of water, or a warm cup of tea before you go to unifiedcommunity.info, because you can fall in there for days.
There's so much amazing information.
It's really amazing.
There's thousands more sites from those 2,000 links. You can get really lost in different categories. But it's a good quick bookmark to reference a lot of bodies of knowledge as well.
Yeah.
Third site is another free site. And all my sites that are free are no commerce, no sign-in, and no advertising. So they're strictly to be used as a free site. And that one's a work in progress, and it's basically photos of plants around the world and the text, which is the country of origin, where they're found, the uses, the conditions. There's about 5 categories, and that kind of fills it in, English and Latin for it, and where they're found, that kind of thing. So that will eventually be a wiki site, and I'm just trying to get the infrastructure, and certainly could use anybody who wants to put any effort into any particular categories of plants. It could be ferns, it could be bulbs, it could, whatever it is, but there's 26 categories, and definitely could use some help. And if anybody wants to help on that, I would greatly appreciate it, or curate one of the categories. That would be a great thing.
Yeah, that'll be a great site. I've watched that slowly begin, watching the evolution, and that'll be another great resource. And both, as Paul said, both the unifiedcommunity.info and the Exploring Botanicals, which you can all get to, by the way, by going to herbprod.com, and it'll show connections there as well. But both of the Unified Community and the Exploring Botanicals are just amazing free resources of great information and some really fabulous photographs from Paul's travels, collect information and wandering the planet.
That'll be mostly 2017. A lot of those pictures will be posted because I'm in that process right now.
Right.
All three sites, by the way, could be gotten to by way of Paul with an S, like Paul's Community, .us, you and I.
Okay, cool.
And all three, so HerbProd, UnifiedCommunity.info, and ExploringBotanicals.com can be gotten through that way as well.
Well, thank you so much. As always, you know, we could talk for, you know, straight for hours.
This was great. Really enjoyed this. This is wonderful.
That was a blast.
All right. We'll have to continue this one.
Yeah, there will be a part two. All right, everybody. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you soon. I'm not sure we're interviewing next, but I'll get back to you on that. All right, everybody. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye.